Hi there, little girl. You want to come on up? Come on. Okay. Try to read some harmony now. Oh, it is a Crowdcast, and today is the day I wish I was doing just a whole musical and comedy show for you, because God, talking about this really, talking about this shit's just getting old. It's just it's making my hair frazzle. Because, you know, and excuse the language today, I'm going to have to go through and edit the hell out of this first segment, but the fact of the matter is, this morning I woke up to a tweet that said, yeah, motherfuckers, I said it. Yeah, I said it. I told them I ain't sad. I said it. I'm the frickin' president. I'll do whatever the hell I want. I'll declassify information on the fly. I'll just do whatever. You can't do crap because I'm the president. He is like Carton now. You must respect my authority. This morning when I heard about his traveling abroad, I thought, oh my God, there should be a travel ban on him. I don't want him going to Turkey and Saudi Arabia and every place else and representing the United States. Human rights, not on any of his agendas, by the way, as he travels the world. It's all about business. It's all about economics. Not one thing to the Saudis about gay rights or women's rights or human rights. He didn't care. You know, he doesn't care. And so when I heard about his trip, I said, dear God, let's make him stay home. Please, for the love of all things holy, let's keep Donald Trump at home. We have hashtag keep Trump at home. Truly. So, Hillary Clinton had a private email server at her home, and on that server, they may or may not have found a couple documents that had been declassified that she sent, that they said, hey, these were classified, you sent classified information. They went around the country for months chanting, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up, because allegedly she had possibly disclosed classified information from a private email server. Not to any one person, not to any foreign, nothing. This mofo stands in the Oval frickin' office shaking the hands of people with only Russian media around. He divulges sensitive intelligence that the Israelis had given us, okay, to the Russians, who aren't even our allies. These people aren't our friends. Okay? Has no one told Donald Trump there was a Cold War and then afterwards we're sort of frenemies? Does he not know what a frenemy is, that Russia is our frenemy? Really. And I feel sorry for the schlub because he was just bloviating. I mean, really, you got to feel a little sorry for him. He was bloviating. He was just bloviating. That's all he was doing. He was trying to act big for the Russian. And, oh, I know this, and I know this, and I got this. He was trying to be Mr. Big. But see, that kind of person is going to get our asses in trouble. But no one cares. And that's why you can't. You cannot care. You cannot sit there and all day to tell yourself, well, they said this about Hillary, and now he's getting. You can't do it because your head's going to explode. Because it's going to happen every single day, okay? It's just going to happen every single day. And ain't no one going to do anything about it, and you and I can't, okay? The only people right now that can do anything about Donald Trump is Congress. And the fact that y'all don't care about the midterms coming up, that Democrats have just conceded they're probably going to lose the midterms, I can't understand why there's not going to be a Democratic sweep in the midterms. I mean, it should be the biggest Democratic House and Senate in the history of Houses and Senates. The fact that one Republican would get a vote is amazing to me. They are justifying what he did this morning. The head of our national security stood there saying, America, at a press, America, America, America. Oh, I wanted to reach over and slap his little bald head, you stupid, ignorant fuck. Oh, my God. I mean, I just really wanted to smack the television this morning. America, America. Oh. But what are you going to do? You spend your day mad and angry that Donald Trump is not going to be impeached, that he is going to go on a world tour of the rainbow. It's like the Evita rainbow tour. It is a total propaganda. What am I doing in the damn chair? It's a total propaganda tour. It's the rainbow tour. Let's hear it for the rainbow tour. It seems like a marvelous success. Yes, it's Evita all over because it's a dictatorship. You know, it really is just like a Vita. A new Argentina. It's the exact, you know, appeal to the workers. I am only a woman in workers' regime. It's a Vita. Which Patti LuPone dished Madonna, did you see? Well, where did that come from, Patti LuPone? Patti LuPone, the original Evita on Broadway, saying about Madonna that she's dead behind the eyes. She shouldn't act. the girl shouldn't act. She's very good at what she does. Shouldn't act. She's dead behind, I'm telling you, dead behind the eyes. When they asked her about Evita, she was like, no, never should have played the part. She's dead behind the eyes. I thought, wow, Miss LeBone, what did poor Madonna do to deserve that? But, hey, they asked her, and she said, so dead behind the eyes. Yeah, we'll be less concerned about Madonna being dead behind the eyes and us being dead because our president blathers God knows what to God knows whom, God knows when, and these morons that surround him are just too stupid to stop him. How horrible we have a Congress too stupid to stop this president. That's really, you know, they're such opportunists. They only care about them little old selves. So it's so, all of it's so clear now. And all the crap, it's all so clear to me. It's all coming back to me now. It's all a pop song to me now. It's all perfectly crystal clear to me now. And how little we can do about it. Oh, we can tweet about it. That's exciting. Isn't that exciting? Let's be like him and take to the Twitter. You know, if I ever see Donald Trump with a smart... Hi, Amber. Hi, you want to come up here? You don't want to listen to this crap, do you? She doesn't. She hates when I get all upset now. She doesn't want to be up on the desk when I get all upset. And that's why I'm stopping getting upset. I'm not mad at Trump. Trump is just being an idiot. He's an idiot. He's a scorpion. He's an idiot. He's bloviating. He's disseminating information. He should be in jail. There are, you know, but although there are no crimes, he committed no crime. Everybody today in the news is acting like he did an impeachable offense. He didn't. Okay? He didn't. So just put your head out to stop your hair from burning. Okay? He did not commit an impeachable offense. He did not. Why? Why did he not? You ask me. Carell, why did he not? Go ahead and ask me. Someone ask me at reallycarell.com. Someone type in. Carell, why didn't he create or why did he not do an impeachable offense? Come on. Come on. Someone type it in so I can answer the question. Come on. I want it. Someone type it in right now. Carell, why wasn't this an impeachable offense? Over at facebook.com/reallycarell. You would think that disclosing classified information to our frenemy in a closed door session, no American media present. If Hillary had done this today when Congress went back in session, they would be, I got to edit the hell out of this because they'd be coming all over the place. The Republican Congress in session today, if it were under a President Clinton and she had done all of this, oh my God, they wouldn't be able to contain themselves. They'd be bursting at their little seams. They'd be so happy going in there to impeach. They would be skipped to Maluma, darling. But somebody, Denise Walker, Carell, why wasn't this an impeachable offense? I am so glad you asked me, Denise Walker, at reallycarell.com. Because information is only classified if the president says so. And the president has the power at his will, without discussing it with anybody, anywhere, at any point, to declassify any information he sees fit. Period. He has the power. The only person in the United States with the ability to declassify information on the fly is the president. That's it. That's the only person. He can do it. And guess what? That's what he's going to say he did. They'll say, but you released classified information. He said, I declassified it. And I made a decision at that moment. The information was then declassified, and I told him. So he did not commit any impeachable offense. You got to stop. We all have to stop waiting for you. The only way that the Republicans are going to impeach this man, and by the way, I don't want a President Pence. I don't. Y'all are acting like I want Donald Trump impeached. No, I want a Congress in 2018 in the midterms that's going to stop that mofo dead. That's what I want. Because if he's impeached, it's President Pence, unless it's a big enough scandal to make the vice president resign. And then it's President Ryan. I don't want any of those people. None. So the only way to do this, the only way, you got to stop thinking about getting him out of office. Believe me, you don't want Donald Trump out of office. Do you want a President Orrin Hatch? You know, do you? I mean, come on. Know enough about government to know that the impeachment is not the solution to the Donald Trump problem. It isn't. Because impeaching him will give you a President Pence. And if he resigns, Paul Ryan's not going anywhere. Okay, he's stayed back from all of this. There's nothing impeachable. There's nothing about Paul Ryan that we could get him out with. So it would be a President Ryan, just like House of Cards. Have you guys not seen House of Cards? Spoiler alert, House of Cards Season 1 is about the Speaker of the House wanting to be president, so arranging scandals so both the president and the vice president have to get out of his way and he becomes president. That is the storyline that Paul Ryan probably watched on Netflix and said, oh, I could do this. I could do this. I mean, my God, so we don't want any of them in power. So the only way to do that is to stop worrying about Trump. Just stop and put all of your energies into a Democratic House and Senate in the midterms, period. That's the only thing you should be thinking about now. Democratic House and Senate in the midterms, period. End of story. That's it. That's just it. And you're right. The BBC House of Cards is much better. But all you should be thinking about is Democratic House and Senate, period. End of story. That's it. Because that's all that's going to matter. That's where the power comes from. That's where the law comes from. That's where the money comes from. Forget the president. He's a moron. He's going to get us in a war or get us killed. We've got to get a Congress that can stop him. Because he should have already been stopped. The Speaker of the House should have already met with the president and said, you calm this crap down or we will call for your resignation before we impeach. Period. End of story. You know, you calm this crap down or we will find an impeachable offense and we will start the proceedings. You start acting right. They don't have enough strength. Democrats are too weak in the House and in the Senate. Strengthen them, even though they're not the best game in town, but strengthen them and you stop him and you stop Pence and you stop Ryan. The only way to stop these people is not impeachment. It's not resignation. It is a strong Congress. So we should simply be just everything should be focused on the midterms. Midterm, 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 midterm. Every seat that's open should go to a Democrat, period, and or an independent, period, end of story. You should be campaigning right now. You should be finding out, you know, are my people up for re-election? How do I make sure the Democrat in my area don't sit there? They're going to rely on low turnouts. They're going to rely that nobody goes to the polls in the midterms. You want a revolution? You want to resist? Then overwhelm the polls at the midterms and send a Democratic House and Senate to the Hill and stop Trump and stop Pence and stop Ryan. That's the only way to do it. If you know government, that is the only way to do it. You don't, impeachment will not do it because we'll have President Pence. Resignation of the top two will not do it because we'll have President Ryan. We've got to have Congress and a Senate that can stop these people. That is the only solution. So stop letting your head catch on fire every time this guy does something. He's going to do something stupid every day because he is an evil idiot. So just stop. Stop getting so invested in it. The midterms, midterms, midterms. You know, when I say the Carell Show needs you, I'm not joking. We are supported through Patreon. Patreon is this great website where you can go and you can pledge however much per month to the show that you feel we deserve. $4.99 is recommended, but you can give more. Go to reallycarell.com and just click. Oh, Lordy B, Lordy Goshen. I did it. Damn right I did it. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. And of course, the way to tell the world that he did this was in a tweet. Twitter, I wish you were never invented. I really wish social media was just, it's the worst thing to happen to us. It gave us Trump. Trump is the first social media president. Ugh. Thank you, Facebook. Thank you, Twitter. Real, really, really grateful. You facilitate terrorism, and they do. My God, they should have to pay. You know what? In San Francisco right now, in Oakland, today, they expect lawsuits to be filed against the how many of you remember the terrible fire at the structure that was like a party structure? It was a place, you know, sort of a hippie sort of place where, you know, the eclectic people that I would probably love, people that I would want to date, they all met and had parties. And there was a party in December and the place caught fire and it was horrible and people were killed and it was terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And today, they're filing lawsuits, wrongful death lawsuits. It's a ghost ship, yeah. That's what everybody... Of course, my Bay Area. My Bay Area. I love you, Bay Area. Bay Area, I love that you love me. Can I just take a minute and say that the greatest gift of my life has been that Andrew Howard wrote my life. And when Andrew died this Sunday, it'll be 16 years. I'm holding it together this week pretty well. It was my last week with Andy. And I'm holding it together pretty well. I only cry like four times a day now, not all day, every day, like it was for years. But Andrew's wish for us in this week prior to his death, we were in Hawaii right now. We came back on the 16th. We came back today. And to a flooded house. But while we were in Hawaii, Andrew's wish for us in radio was for us to go on to San Francisco, for us to get a major radio show in San Francisco, because he wanted us to be on in the market in San Francisco. And he wanted us to live there. He did. He really loved the Bay Area. And so he discussed the week before his death that he wanted us to negotiate a contract that would allow us to be on the radio in San Francisco, because we were in negotiations with our contract with KFI. After he died, KFI kept me on for about a year, and then Robin Bertolucci fired me one day and tried to have security walk me out, and they refused because they said he's not a threat. Funny, because she had just come from KGO, and she took over KFI, and she fired me. And then 4 months later, KGO hired me. Jack Swanson hired me. And since then, since being hired at KGO in 2002, the Bay Area has been my extended home. The people there have been my extended family. Monterey, certainly KRXA and Radio Monterey and Planet Gemini and, you know, all of that. The Raz Room, when it was open in downtown San Francisco, which is now Feinstein's at the Hotel Nico. So the Bay Area turned into my audience, and it was exactly what Andrew had wished for us, for he and I. So it's miraculous to me. He also wrote that I moved to Vegas and produce all of my shows from Vegas. He wrote that in a play, in a movie called Out West, where I'm the lead character. And he wrote that I moved to Vegas and I start producing stage shows and TV and film and radio from Vegas. And I looked at a penthouse apartment today in Vegas that's $229,000, three-bedroom, two-bath, patio overlooking the Strip. The HOAs are $500 a month. $220,000 for a three-bedroom overlooking the Strip with a pet park and a pool and a gym and a 50-person screening room, all on premises. And I'm like, why am I fighting to live in Southern California? You know, these are the issues that are getting put aside as we scream and let our heads explode about Donald Trump releasing classified information. Who cares? Who cares? In Orange County, they just released the figures that you have to make $150,000 to afford a median-priced home. In Los Angeles, it's $99,000 that you have to make to afford a median. That's an average-priced home. In San Francisco, it's $175,000. That you have to make to afford a median-sized home. That's unsustainable in any market. Only 20% of the people in Orange County make enough. Only 18% of the people in Long Beach and LA County make enough. And less than 30% in the Bay Area make enough to actually buy an average-priced home. And the same goes for the rents. Now, we should be talking about America's affordability. That's what Congress should be talking about. America's affordability. What are we going to do? People's wages are not going up. Housing costs are rising exponentially. What can we do to help Americans? How can we ease their burden? And no one's talking about easing your burden right now. Nobody. Nobody is in the game to ease your burden right now. Certainly not the president. He is concerned with business and foreign trips and bloviating. So no one's really concerned with your bottom line right now. And that's all I think about every day is your bottom line, my bottom line, and how we survive, how we live. That's all I think about. Are you watching me now? Oh, that was the end of A Star Is Born. I fell in love with Barbara Streisand. Well, you can fall in love with me every single day at reallycorell.com at noon. That's reallycorell.com and at facebook.com/reallycorell. Watch me each and every day at noon. It is a Carellcast. I am Carell. My co-host Ember, the Long Beach pup, is out there sunbathing. She enjoys sunbathing now during the show. She likes that. She enjoys lying in the sun. So the president basically said, I did it, so what? You can't do anything about it. I'm the president. I can declassify stuff if I want to. I can. And everyone around him is acting like it's all normal. And we all know, because we're, you know, thinking individuals, that heads would have exploded if this had been Hillary Clinton. We all know that. Okay, we get it. We understand. And that's the problem. That's going to kill you. Okay, I mean this. Y'all have to let this stuff go. It's going to eat at you. It's going to ruin every aspect of your life. It's going to rob you of joy and happiness. You got to let it go. The only hope we have are the midterms. That's it. Either concentrate on the midterms or leave. Those are your options right now. And I hate that. That's not optimistic, but this is not a time for optimism. The New York Times even said so. This is not a time for optimism. You know, I mean, you either hope that do everything you can to get Democratic House and Senate for the midterms, or you leave the country for 4 years, because he's not going to be impeached. And if he is, you're going to get a President Pence or Ryan, and you're not going to want that. And so it's not going to get any better for 4 more years unless we do a Democratic House and Senate. So it's just that simple. It's just that. And yes, then they'll just be gridlock. Until the next election, the best we can hope for is gridlock. Our work will not be done. No infrastructure repairs. There's going to be very little done for us. But what can we do? We can either go crazy, scream and yell about it, make it, you know, lose sleep about it, watch your news alerts to see if every 20 seconds there's something new that he's done. You know, my friends over at the Bill Press Show, they're like, yeah, we book guests, we book all this stuff, and then all of a sudden he does something moronistic and we have to totally change the content. I don't book my shows anymore with guests or stuff, because it just day by day now, there's just, I never know if I'm going to wake up or going to be at war. Right now I'm leaving my shows just sort of open and free form, because we just, every single day, there's something just so bizarre happening. And I want to talk more entertainment, and I'd like to talk more stuff that's more, you know, just more fun in your life. But again, in America, this is not the time for that. This just isn't. This is the time for everybody, our entertainers, our politicians, our scientists, our everybody, to be saying, participate in the midterms, get a Democratic House and Senate, stop this man. You know, that's what everybody, you know, should be thinking. Just everybody. So as far as I'm concerned, we have got to, like I was talking earlier about the ghost ship fire and how, you know, I look at wrongful death suits interestingly, since I've been through one. Most of those won't survive the light of day, by the way. 90% of them either settle out or don't make it to court. But I'm thinking about it, and I'm saying, you know, these people knew when they walked into that place that it didn't meet code. They knew that. Okay, they knew it. That's what was part of the place's charm. They knew it. And should everything have been? Yes, of course it should have been, but it wasn't, and the people knew it. So I have always wondered about wrongful death suits where they know that what they're doing is dangerous, and then they die, and someone says, well, they shouldn't have. Well, you know, at Pulse Nightclub, they shouldn't have died. You shouldn't go to a nightclub and assume that shooting is something that, you know, is you have to endure. You walk into a building that looks like a fire trap with rickety stairs and people living in ways that you just and you know that it's just dangerous. And you still party and carry on there. Well, then I'm not saying you deserve to die. I'm simply saying it's going to be hard for a jury to look at that and say, hey, you know, perhaps they should get money. So I don't know how easy the ghost ship fires are gonna or the ghost ship lawsuits are gonna be, because a jury is gonna look at that and say, well, they walked in, you know, they, because they're looking for reasons to vote against people. You know, trust me on this. I have been through the procedure, and I know they are looking for reasons to vote that against wrongful death. So, as I look at that story, I just think, it's kind of sad because, there's a lot of people. When I compare it to the Facebook and Twitter lawsuits, I think they have more merit. In other words, I think it is much more reasonable to say that Facebook and Twitter do facilitate terrorism and do allow terrorist networks to communicate more easily. I think it would be wrong to ignore that that is very, 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 very true. It's true. They allow, you know, they just do. You can be all the jihad you want, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter. And, oh, if someone reports you, they'll pull it down. But the damage is already done. You know, you're already, it's already happened. They've already communicated. So, I think the lawsuits against Twitter and Facebook have more merit than a wrongful death suit towards somebody who, you know, I mean, let's be real. You walk into, see, the reason that the wrongful death suits work for medical is because you assume when you go to a doctor that they're not going to kill you. You know, you assume you have a relative expectation of safety, you know, when you go to a hospital. It's just a question of, well, you know, what a jury is going to think. What a jury, you know, how is the jury gonna see it? I'm worn out from that, the Trump story. I really am, because everybody was so angry about it last night. Oh, the media was so, you know, they were just out of their minds. You know, they were like ready to call for his impeachment right then and there. You know, just like, he must go now. And I understand. I get it. Okay? They want him gone. And they're thinking, this is it. He admitted it. No. It's not it. No law was broken. The president can, in fact, declassify information whenever the president sees fit. That's just the way that is. And if we don't like it, if that's something that, well, then we can change that. Congress can. See, that's how we change everything. We could have a new presidential election in 2018 if we had a stronger Congress. If we had a Congress that held to the Constitution, you know, the Declaration of Independence, it says, you know, when something has the ability, you know, when something has taken over your government, when something is, you know, just too bad, too horrible for you, it's your right, it's your duty to get rid of it. That's, you know, that's what it says. And we don't take it seriously. You know, we do not take what the Constitution and the Declaration says seriously. You know, we just don't. Because if we did, we would say, oh, we got this. Our Constitution allows for this. We can in fact get rid of him by an act of Congress. You know, we can have a new election. We can get rid of him. But we don't. We don't. Because we don't take what we do seriously, meaning our government. We don't take what Thomas Jefferson did seriously in terms of the amendment process. There hasn't been an amendment in forever. You know, there just hasn't been. And so now, when you think about the government, you think of the Constitution and the Declaration, you think of it as the way that it is. It's etched in stone. It's, you know, this is the way that it is. No, actually, that's not the way that it is. It can change. But we have to change it. And we won't. We will not change it. And so we live by it, you know, and that's just the way it is. Until we get a Democratic House and Senate. So that really should be the focus. You know, the main focus of everything should be Democratic House and Senate. I just can't push that enough. I can't tell you enough. Because every day you're going to want to die. And look, I don't know how to escape that. I really don't. I don't know how to escape that every day we're going to wake up and we're going to see horrific things happening from D.C. that we hate. On this trip, he's going to say terrible things to the Saudi leader, to the Turkish leader, to the leaders of the EU. He is going to embarrass the hell out of us. He just is. There's nothing that we can do about that. He is going to embarrass the hell out of us. And we just have to sit here and take it. So you're going to have to grow a thicker skin where Trump is concerned, or it's going to affect your psychological well-being. You know, like yesterday or this, a couple of days ago, my roommate, Steve Cabral, he was glued to the news alerts. Oh, did you hear this? Like every news alert. And I just thought, stop. I told him, I said, stop. It doesn't mean anything. He's not going to be impeached. He's not, you know, so stop. just stop getting caught up in the minutia of Trump. There's too much minutia where Trump is concerned. There's just too much. So stop, you know, trying to get caught up in that minutia, because it will weigh you down. It will boggle your mind. It will stop you from thinking of the future. Because when you think of the future of America right now, what do you think? Do you see America in the future? Do any of you, when you picture America, okay, do you, any of you, see America in the future? And I'm serious. Remember how we used to see America like in 2010 or 2020 or the year 2000? And we saw like flying cars and, you know, and different things. And we were like, oh, yeah, I see this. I see that. You know, in the year 2000, it's going to look like the Jetsons, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Do you, when you think of, for instance, America in 2100, okay? In 2100, when you think of our future, that's just 83 years away. What do you think? Most of you, you only see chaos and doom. You see global warming that's taken over. You seem, you know, when you think of 2100, you don't see a happy, prosperous United States functioning well in a world that is functioning well. You don't. And there's nothing I don't know how I can change that for you. How can we give Americans that vision again? Because in order to succeed, in order to care, in order to participate, we have to want it. We have to have that vision. It's like your life. If you wake up every day without a purpose, if you don't have anything to do, if there's no goals, if you're not looking forward to something, you know how miserable of a life that is. Each of you does. Okay, each of you knows what kind of life it is when you wake up without a purpose. Okay, you just do. It's not a pleasant life to wake up without a purpose. Okay, it's not. And right now, what if we ask the United States, what is our purpose? Okay, what is the purpose of the United States? If you ask Americans, I'll ask you. 213-985-3527, 213-985-3527, 213-985-3527. What is the purpose of the United States right now? What is our purpose? Why are we here? Why do we exist? What is the reason the United States gets out of bed in the morning? What is our purpose? 213-985-3527, 213-985-3527. That is the number. What is our purpose? Call me any time of the day or night. Why are we here? Why do we exist? You know, what reason do we have to be here? I'd like to know. You know, 213-985-3527. What do you think the purpose, what reason does the United States have for getting out of bed every day? 213-985-3527. 213-985-3527. That's the number. What reason does the United States have for getting out of bed every day? I'd love to hear from you. 213-985-3527. What's our purpose? What's our goal? And it's all right, and he's coming on. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. All you got to do is go to any app store of your choice and download the Carell Cast, and you've got all of me, honey. My very essence, nothing compares. It is a Carell Cast. I am Carell. Hello, little Ember, the LBC pup. I'm loving her so much. She's not right here where she's supposed to be, though. I'm a little upset about that. She just likes to be on the floor now because she can't get down from up here. And so she likes to be able to run out. She wants to be where she can quickly escape. Oh, well. 213-985-3527. 213-985-3527. What is the goal of the United States? What makes us get out of bed every morning? I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear what you have to say. I really would. Why do you think? What 2100. What's it look like? You know, what's our future look like? Bleak, encouraging, loving, lovely. What's it look like?
Hi, Carell. This is Carrie from Los Gatos again. Thank you so much for answering my questions today. I was really happy. And my husband said, I think that's your voice. I was in the other room. It was kind of funny. But listen, do you think maybe you could have some sort of segment where Joy could be on the, you know, just her voice? You know, you could connect with Joy and she could be on and some of us could, you know, call in or
anything. You know, it's amazing how people, I remember when I was at KGO, there was a caller all the time. Not Randall. Was it Randall? He ended up moving to Texas, and he was just a regular caller to KGO Radio, to all the shows. Everybody sort of knew him. And he became such a regular, you know, fixture at KGO that when he moved, people missed him. And they asked, will you please find him and call? And so we stayed in touch, and I did. I had him come back on the show several times because callers and listeners actually missed him. And Joy used to be my online maven. She was the person who ran the chat room and was the president of my online fan club. And so a lot of my listeners know Joy Diamond. That's why when you hear people ask about where she went, because she was the president of my fan club. And she was the person who moderated my chat room. And, you know, so she was involved with the show as a volunteer. I mean, just, you know, because she wanted to help out. I'll try to get her on the phone and see if we can get her on. The number you leave the messages on are 213-985-3527, 213-985-3527, but you have to talk. Someone from the 212 area code just called me and didn't leave a message, so you got to talk if you want to call me. You got to speak. If I don't answer, you leave a voice message, okay? You can also email feedback@reallycorrell.com. That's feedback@reallycorrell.com. I, of course, always want to hear from you. All right, well, look, no matter what happens tonight or tomorrow morning, don't go insane, okay? Don't watch the news more than just a little. You know, take your news and, oh, did you hear they might cancel Lawrence O'Donnell? Now that the ratings are all high at MSNBC, they're thinking of switching it to more right-wing. Can you believe this? The one liberal, basically, and news shouldn't be liberal, but the one news station that seems to be on the right side of history, you know, is now changing because of economics. And yet Rachel Maddow's viewership is at an all-time high. She's beating Anderson Cooper. And Lawrence O'Donnell's too. But the head of MSNBC, I'm told, is like, no, let's switch to a little more moderate, they call it. A little more middle of the road. There is no middle. There's no middle class in America, and there's no middle ideas. There's no compromise. There's no middle area right now. Everyone wants to act like there's a moderate political position in this country to be had. There's not. There is no moderate position. Either you believe in equality for women, equality for immigrants, equality for blacks, equality for gays. Either you believe in equal pay for everybody. Either you believe that income should be more evenly distributed and that the boss shouldn't make 3,000 times more than the employee. Either you believe that corporations have too much power or you don't. You either believe those things or you don't. Either you believe that you and I and your children and your mother and your father should all have access to health care regardless of their income level. Either you believe that we have a human right and a dignity when it comes to housing and basic needs like lights, gas, water, and food and health care. Either you believe as Americans that we should provide these things for each other because we can, or you don't. Either you believe we should only go to war as a last-minute ditch effort, that we should never talk about nuclear strikes, or we should never threaten countries into behaving like we want to with the threat of our nuclear might. Either you believe that we should only attack when attacked, or you don't. You know? Either you believe that we solve terrorism with kindness, with diplomacy, and not with bombs, or you don't. There's no middle there. So the notion that a moderate network or a moderate talk show, there is no such thing as moderate in extreme events. When events are extreme, there is no moderate. When someone is drowning, there's no half saving their life. Okay? I am Carell. Be who you want to be. Song didn't hurt anybody. Donald. Maybe he should listen. Maybe I should be his advisor. Dude, kayate. Just kayate. Shh. For a week. No Twitter, no speaking, no nothing. Just shh.
Yeah. You're listening to The Corral Show. Corral.
It is the Corralcast. I am Corral, internationally heard from my little home here in Long Beach, California. Well, I've got an Indian in the garage, and I'm not being racist. But as you all know, I am a wonderful motorcyclist. I adore two wheels, and even with my back injury, I have maintained biking on my three-wheel Piaggio MP3 250 and 500. You know that I believe in motorcycling responsibly. I think everybody should do it if they're able to, because it just opens up an entirely new world to you, including a new world of wonderful people, people that you would have never expected. And before we get to my guests, I think it's important that I reiterate this for those of you that are new listeners. When I started motorcycling over a decade ago, I was afraid. Because I thought motorcyclists were these big butch people who were going to kill me because I'm this big queer. Well, I couldn't have found just the opposite to be true. It is the most welcoming community you will ever find. We salute everybody as we drive by on our motorcycles, and we don't know who's under the helmet. We just do it because if you're on two wheels, you're one of us. When one of us goes down, you know, we support people. And I think every single one of us that gets on a bike that's responsible wants everybody to get off a bike. In other words, we want people to be safe when they do it. The worst thing that can happen to a motorcyclist is overriding their experience. And those are the stories you always hear. These young testosterone-filled people do stuff they shouldn't be because they're overriding their experience. Now, a lot of you that drive cars, you have a lot of gripes and complaints about us motorcyclists. And believe me, I could give you 30 right back. Like, put down the frickin' phone and stop texting and trying to kill us. But that being said, I think a lot of you are worried about swarms of motorcyclists because of what you've seen in the news. The New York Times did an article about California, which is interesting. But the article is called Bike Life and Bike Life Riders in the Bay Area. And I wanted to talk about it because so many of you live in the Bay Area that listen to me. Liza Miller is with me. And Liza, and thank you for joining me today. You do a podcast about motorcycling, correct?
I do. It's called Motorcycles and Misfits. And much like the motorcycle community, we are a little bit of everything. Old, young, gay, straight, bi, trans, professional, hippie. You name it, we have it all.
And where can they find Motorcycles and Misfits if they wanted to listen to it?
We're on iTunes, SoundCloud. You can also go to motorcyclesandmisfits.com. And we talk about everything in the motorcycle community.
Now, this New York Times article about bike life, what is it talking about?
So it's a new trend that seems to be spreading from back east out to here of these young hooligan riders on dirt bikes who love to do stunts and ride recklessly through the streets, and in many cases to taunt the police into chases, because on these dirt bikes they can get away. They can go through yards and on paths, and it's fun to them.
Right. Now, first of all, you all should know that I don't ride a dirt bike. I'm sure Liza doesn't, at least not on the street. We ride what many would consider either cruisers or super motard or super moto bikes. A dirt bike is a very specific beast. There are dual-purpose bikes, but a dirt bike is a very specific beast. The knobby tires get me. I can't stand those on concrete. But these are bikes that are smaller, more agile, lightweight, meant for tricks, that sort of thing. Now, the first question, Liza Miller, Motorcycles and Misfits is her podcast. The first question would be why? Why are these people doing this? I mean, it begs the question, why? Is there an answer, or are they just a group of young testosterone males who want to go and create a little havoc?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, a lot of times these are communities that, what else is there to do for them? You know, go to the rec center and play ping pong. I don't know. I mean, they're looking for something fun. And motorcycles are fun.
Yeah.
But they're doing it in a way that's giving a lot of us a bad name.
Right. They're taking over bridges. They're blocking traffic, popping wheelies. They're weaving in across lanes. And in some cities, including San Francisco, they have swarmed some vehicles and either impeded their ability to drive or made them pull over. or whatever it might be. Now, it's important for you and I, Liza, to spread the message that we, as motorcyclists, are just as opposed to this kind of behavior as people in cars. And I think they think because we're bikers, we just sort of nod and think it's okay. I don't nod and think it's okay. Do you?
I will admit, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Yeah, right. I've gone fast over a speed bump and taken a jump. And yeah, I've, you know, jumped over, you know, the sidewalk. I've done this.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. There's this place on 7th Street where if I'm going just right, I can get air on these different bumps. I'm not talking about having some fun. I'm talking about popping wheelies, blocking traffic, you know, shutting off a bridge access, that sort of stuff.
Well, to me, the biggest difference, and I want to make sure that non-riders out there know the difference.
Okay.
I'm fully geared when I go out there.
Yes.
My code is don't put anyone else at risk.
Right.
I can do stupid stuff and put myself at risk if I want to. I mean, I'm old. I don't do it that often. But, you know, I don't want to say I haven't.
Right.
But I don't put others at risk. If I want to go carve the hills, we know what roads to go do that are there aren't any traffic. Don't put anyone at risk. If you want to, you know.
Right. And carve the hills is a term that we use in motorcycling. And what it means is on a lot of our bikes, particularly the Supermoto bikes, these bikes are made for cornering in ways that if you haven't seen a moto race, you can't even imagine. But these bikes can go down to like 45-degree angles, 30-degree angles around corners to where we do what they're called knee sliding, which is where the knee actually touches the pavement. It's got a pad on it, but it actually touches the pavement as you go around. And many canyons rural roads have these corners that bikers love, and so they go out into the hills and they do that, and they're not bothering anybody. They're just, you know, doing corners and having wide open spaces and having a ball. They're not doing stuff in the middle of traffic. Let me ask you, there is some stuff. How do I put this? Liza Miller is my guest, and her podcast is Motorcycles and Misfits. I do think that sometimes car drivers do get a little touchy. For instance, we are allowed to split in California. It's one of the great reasons to have a motorcycle. And I hate these people who say, oh, it scares me. Oh, it this. Oh, you guys shouldn't be able to do it. No, you guys should actually leave enough room in between. Be sure that you know that we're going to be doing it and help us out instead of, you know, getting so frightened you jerk and you know, all this other stuff. So there are some things that we do that I think car drivers need to be a little more sensitive about and allow us our indulgence, like lane splitting. Would you not agree?
Oh, exactly. Why this kind of bothers me when I see kids out there riding like this, because to non-riders, they see us all as the same. And if they see somebody doing something that they don't think is safe, sometimes you have vigilante action. And that happened to a friend of mine not too long ago, where he was splitting lanes in traffic. Now, he happens to ride with a dog on his bike.
Me too.
And the driver of this truck thought he was putting that dog in danger, and he's splitting lanes. He's being reckless. The guy in the truck pulled out slightly to try and block him as he was splitting lanes. He managed to swerve around him and keep going, but then this truck driver chased him down and was speeding down a city street and followed him to his destination and got out and was screaming at him about how he's putting that dog and everyone else at risk. And he lost his stuff. And it's like, whoa, this dog was riding since he was a puppy. He's not putting anyone
right
at risk.
Yeah, Ember.
The dog reported to him.
Right. Ember has ridden my motor scooter, since she was 8 weeks old. And she's enclosed inside a dog carrier, which is around me, and it's strapped to the front of me. So she's not going anywhere. And, you know, my friend had a dog killed in a car. So, you know, I mean, it's dangerous, period, if you get in a wreck, whether it's a car or whether a motorcycle. But that is the one thing, is the retaliation. And Liza Miller is my guest, and we are talking about an article from the New York Times that came out in which she's quoted, California Today, the Bay Area's bike life riders. And these are people who go out without helmets. They're often on dirt bikes. They're causing havoc in the street. They were featured in a documentary called The 12 O'Clock Boys. And y'all need to know that these are not the normal motorcycle riders. These are not the people that are responsible, that gear up every time, that are all about their safety and yours. But the one thing is retaliation. Y'all don't realize you are in two-ton killing machines when it comes to motorcyclists. And you guys thinking, oh, I'll just do this or I'll just do that. Some people think, oh, I'll just tap the motorcyclist to let him know. You tap a moving motorcycle, we're gonna go flying. You know, I mean, the only thing you should be doing with a motorcycle is stay away from a motorcycle when it's driving. And, you know, that's really the only thing that you should do. Let me ask you, there are people, Liza, that say we deserve this rep. I don't think we do. I think there are far more, particularly in the Bay Area. San Francisco has more motorcyclists per capita than almost any other United States city. And I think all in all, given all the cyclists in the Bay Area, there's a pretty great harmony there. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Go on.
Look how many of them are just computer programmers, you know?
Right.
Yet there's still a lot of people who see a biker with a patch on their back and think that, oh, Hell's Angels or, you know, bikers are no good.
Right.
These are people who are married with kids who are computer programmers who like to just have a moment where they feel cool, you know?
And by the way, the Hell's Angels were started by a group of Vietnam veterans to escape their PTSD. They have a bad rap now, but they started in something that was good in giving Vietnam veterans a way to express themselves and get away from their horrors of war. Liza Miller, the podcast is called Motorcycles and Misfits. Is it weekly? How often do you do your podcast?
Yeah, we release one every Monday morning.
Every Monday morning. So go and subscribe on iTunes if you're even remotely interested in motorcycling. We were talking about a New York Times article that came out about Bay Area life riders. But really what they just are is a-holes. And, you know, let me ask you before you go. I have this theory, Liza, that anywhere between 20 and 30% of any group of anything are a-holes. Doctors, lawyers, cops, anything, no matter who, housewives, whatever. 20 to 30% are a-holes, the rest aren't. And I would say the same holds true for bikers, right? 20 to 30% of us are a-holes. We're going to go out without the proper gear. We're going to annoy drivers. We're going to do unsafe stuff. But then 70 to 80% of us are law-abiding people who just really enjoy what two wheels have to offer. Would you not agree?
I would agree. And I think the reason a lot of non-riders have ill feelings toward us, I think that they're just secretly jealous. They're not having the fun we are.
Oh, I agree. I told Gavin Newsom that. I said every person before he should become governor of the state of California should ride Highway 1 from San Diego all the way to San Francisco. And that the people you meet, the smells that you encounter, the scenery. I'll never forget being just rounding a corner and having strawberries just, you know, like hit me in the face, or rounding a corner and having the ocean just sort of hit me in the face, and just all the different things that happen. Thank you so much for joining me, taking time. I know it was short minute, last minute, Liza. So thank you so much for joining me today on the show.
No problem at all.
Liza Miller has been my guest. Again, you can check her out at iTunes and SoundCloud. It's Motorcycling and Misfits. It will, I imagine, cover all kinds of aspects of motorcycling. We will be back. I am Carell. Don't forget my website, Really Carell. That's reallycarell.com is where you go to support the show. And if you want to see Pop Moto TV, if you want to see all of my different motorcycling segments, go to LifeInSegments.com. That's LifeInSegments.com. That is my TV show, which, believe it or not, we are talking to Free Speech TV today and firming up seasons 4 and seasons 5, which I cannot believe. All right, there's still a lot more to come. When we come back, why I eat full fat. That's right, full fat. And why you should eat full fat as well. Whether it's how to support your family cooking on $15 a day or what's up in the world of pets, technology, travel, leisure, politics, it's all on Life in Segments, my weekly TV show. Go to lifeinsegments.com right now. Lifeinsegments.com. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me. Throw away all of that non-fat bullcrap. It's bullcrap. And I've known this forever. Okay? And I've told my doctors this. I am not on a statin. Okay? And yet look at me. I should be. you think, to look at me. But my numbers are such that I am not on a statin, and I eat full fat everything. I have half and half with my tea. I eat full fat Greek yogurt, full fat ice cream, full fat milk. I don't eat non-fat anything because I knew it was a myth a long time ago. And now research out of Europe again confirms what I am telling you. The non-fat craze was a craze. It was a myth. It was some sort of fake thing. And they pulled all the fat out of it and put in sugar. And so they've made food worse for you. Your body knows how to handle animal fat. Okay? It does. Just don't eat too much of it. Okay? Non-fat ice cream doesn't mean you can eat the entire half gallon. Okay? Your body knows how to deal with fat. After a 15-year study, there was no evidence suggesting that people that adhered to a lower fat diet when it came to dairy products were any healthier or any less cholesterol than those that didn't. The evidence is conclusive. When it comes to dairy, you don't have to not eat the fat. Eat it. Use butter, not margarine. Oh, and not anything that calls itself a spread. You know, anything that calls itself a spread is bad, whether it's a person or butter. Ick. Anything that spreads easily, that's a hoe. Okay? Your butter shouldn't spread easily because that's hoe butter. Okay? Butter that spreads easily, hoe butter. You don't want hoe butter. Okay? You just want butter. Full fat butter. Ice cream, fat, yogurt, Greek yogurt. One of the big deals about Greek yogurt is that it's got more fat content than other yogurt. That's one of the big deals about it. Okay? It's that it's got more fat content. And then you take out the fat. You do non-fat. Why would you have non-fat Greek yogurt? That's dumb. You're having a brand of yogurt whose big claim to fame is that they add more fat, and you're taking out the fat. So what would that makes no sense. So research is in. It is conclusive. You can go ahead and eat the fat. Your body knows how. Okay? It can deal with it. Now, don't pour it in. Don't eat lard. Don't have lard sandwiches. You know, Carell said I could eat fat. I'm having a lard sandwich. No. But you know what? When you're making that grilled cheese, if you want to spread a little mayo on the outside of the bread, which I'm going to do right after this show, I'm going to make a Havarti cheese grilled cheese sandwich. I am, and you cannot stop me. I certainly am. It's my lunch. Having a homemade cream of celery soup with a Havarti grilled cheese sandwich. Could you just die? Oh, my God. I'm going to be so just full in just a moment. All right. It's only Tuesday. But isn't this? Oh, my God. It's already May. And Steve Cabral said, oh, my God. I said, yeah, summer begins May 27th, Memorial Day weekend. Yep. Yep. Which I postponed my surgery until June. It's a Tuesday in June. June 6th, I think. Because I was not going to go in the hospital on Memorial Day weekend. Sorry, not going to do it. Just not going to do it. All right, I love y'all. Thank y'all for being here today. Thank my guest, Liza Miller, for talking about motorcycling in the Bay Area. Remember, if you're up in the Bay Area, watch out for motorcycles. They're everywhere up there. I could be on one of them. Also, if you're one of these people that think life biking is cool and swarming people in cars is cool and stuff, you're just giving us a bad name, so stop it, okay? Other topics we talked about today, let's remember, people really are innocent until you prove them guilty. Let's just stop, you know, look, it's really weird with people that are truly guilty, like Trump and all this Russia stuff and the testimony yesterday. This man's filthy. Everyone in his administration's filthy. We now know that Russia swayed the election. Comey, that Aberdeen woman never said that she forwarded thousands of emails. It was all a lie to make sure Hillary didn't win. It was all a rigged election. We all know it. They won't hold the election over again, which is what they should do. They won't impeach him, but they're guilty, okay? Those people are guilty. So there's no jumping to conclusions there. Why is it in every case we jump to conclusions except when all the evidence is right there that they actually are guilty? Then it's like, oh, maybe they didn't. No, they're guilty. Donald Trump, yeah, I'll say a bad word there. Donald Trump is guilty as hell, okay? I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so long doesn't hurt anybody. Thanks to everyone over at the chat room, Lori and Cherokee, Denise, Carter, Joe, Maxwell, and all the guests. Thank you for telling me it was a great show. Yes, and fat can be processed by the liver. It's homogenization that is the curse. You're absolutely right. I have the smartest listeners. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Bye.
You're listening to The Carell Show. Carell.